Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 605. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, as we briefly discussed ahead of time, I am really avoiding anything election-related currently. I did my civic duty, and that is that. The fate of the U.S. Government is not in my hands, really. You know, we're going to do the usual thing and talk about professional wrestling here because that's what we do. And I was happy to hear you say let's talk about SmackDown because I reverse ordered things. I watched Raw in its entirety yesterday and then watched SmackDown today. So it is fresh in the brain, and SmackDown was a lot of fun this past week. Like, I'm half wondering if I should forget about Raw and just watch SmackDown instead.
So many weeks, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, no. SmackDown is definitely the show where things are actually happening week to week.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things happening, like, I guess I'm trying to pick, the one thing, but I guess I'll go back to it. I think I missed the previous week's SmackDown, and I just BS'd my way through the show last week.
That's what you guys talk about Impact pretty much the entire show.
Well, that helps too. You dedicate at least a third of the show to Impact. That helps out. there was that. But, I did, like I said, I guess the whole Roman Reigns, Jey Uso situation is... It's some captivating TV that they have going on right now. With that angle, and considering that, because I was trying to think of which one to go with, because, like you said, there's kind of a whole lot of issues. Like, there wasn't much in the way of wrestling on SmackDown, but there was a lot of mic work that and promos that really set the stage for a lot of things. And since this one opened and closed the show, I think it's the best one to start with. So, I guess, what do you think about Jey Uso joining the proverbial dark side at the end of this episode?
I think it's absolutely tremendous. I think it's better to do it this way than to have him continue to resist. And, you know, I didn't do a show about it last week, but over on Twitter at Stunt Cali, I was very, very negative on the Hell in a Cell match. Yeah, too long, too much melodrama. I was not a fan of it in comparison to the match at Clash of Champions, which was, you know, half as long. But they really corrected themselves for me. I'm in the minority of people who didn't like the Hell in a Cell thing. I admit that.
Yeah.
But I do like that we're not going to have weeks and weeks of Jey Uso crying his eyes out on television and it turning into, you know, this very soapy storyline. No, he accepted Roman Reigns as his tribal chief and then beat the living hell out of Daniel Bryan.
It's one of those ones where the WWE just tends to make things go too long. Like, if there would have been another week of resisting or something like that, I maybe could have dealt with it, but there's really been a month-long saga already having gone on before the I Quit match. So, I mean, I think they've shown his resistance pretty well prior to now, so it did really kind of make it feel nice that he just kind of went whole hog with the situation. And yeah, he really did, like you said, he beat the tar out of Daniel Bryan to end the show. It was a brutal assault that, you know, the top rope to the announce desk splash through it. You know, that's quite a visual to go out on.
Yeah, except Jey Uso took almost entirely on his and his abdomen.
Yeah, it was more of a flying headbutt than a splash.
Yeah, that angle does not work for that. He was flying in it does not work for a splash. That's why most guys go for the elbow off the top there. Yeah, that physics there, but no, it was very impactful. It was great visual beating. There's the questions over whether, you know, some people brought it up that was Daniel Bryan just a victim of circumstance, or does Roman Reigns still hold a grudge over Daniel Bryan ruining his 2015 Royal Rumble win? Which would be incredible character work and a hell of a callback if they're really going to go that direction.
Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see which way they decide to go here. Because, I mean, in some ways, it's strange to have a Roman Reigns-Daniel Bryan feud if Daniel Bryan can't even beat Jey Uso. Like, you can say that Roman didn't beat Jey Uso all you want, and while kind of technically true, he won both matches.
Yes, yes, he won both matches very clearly, yes. But yeah.
So, yeah, he didn't break his spirit, I guess, in those situations, but yeah, he clearly won the matches, and it's just like, and it wasn't like there was any interference from Roman Reigns or Paul Heyman. The Roman Reigns' appearance wasn't the thing that threw off Daniel Bryan that got Jey the win. So I guess that's the only part of that angle that really wouldn't work for me. It's just like you kind of... It's like losing to Murphy and then challenging Seth Rollins, and I know we can get to that relationship later, but you know it's kind of the same thing. Like you got to beat the underling before you get to the boss, and
well, there's plenty of time. I have no idea when they'd want to run with Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. I would guess maybe not before, you know, Royal Rumble in January. I don't know. I don't know what, because right now Roman Reigns is his concern is Survivor Series against the WWE champion currently Randy Orton. An odd heel versus heel match that makes me wonder if Orton's not making it to Survivor Series as champion. Well, we can talk about that more later. But yeah, Roman doesn't really have a feud right now on SmackDown.
Yeah, he doesn't really need the feud just because Survivor Series match is kind of set in stone, you know, even if Randy Orton doesn't make it. So, you know, you can go with this extended storyline feud. They've always had kind of an odd time with Survivor Series, and I guess I just don't feel like it's always been the strongest championship match pay-per-view that they have. Even though they've kind of gotten away a lot from the elimination style matches, like they always seem to have like a men's match and a women's match, and that's about it to kind of commemorate the old Survivor Series style. But those do take up so much time on TV that it leaves a little less time for other stuff, because they do always love to go with the weird team dynamics gimmick here recently to fill airtime. And that kind of takes away from a little bit. I mean, Roman Reigns had a poop ton of TV time this past week, but it also, you know, like you said, he doesn't have a real feud for himself going on, or even one that you see taking place after Survivor Series at this stage.
No, you really don't. There's certainly some options on SmackDown. Well, really, they've pretty much killed off Otis. So now the options left are Daniel Bryan and Big E. And the question is, do you sacrifice one of those matches for a B-show like TLC? Which would be coming up in December.
Yeah, I mean, that's a strong possibility. So, Daniel Bryan has the credibility that he can, you know, that he can bounce back from this loss from Jay.
He can easily he can beat Jay on any episode of SmackDown between now and, you know, the end of the year.
Yeah, and I guess that wouldn't be.
Jay Uso is going to be the he is the underboss. He is the sidekick at this point. he's getting the push of his lifetime, but he's not. It's not like he's not going to be doing plenty of losses along the way as well.
He's definitely going to pick up some L's along the way here. I would imagine, maybe not currently, but they are coming if he stays a Roman Reigns lackey. So yeah, that's definitely been a fun part of SmackDown. I referenced him a little bit earlier, but Seth Rollins got to participate in the officially creepy segment that involves Aaliyah, Mysterio, Dominic, Ray, also of the Mysterio clan, Buddy Murphy, and Seth Rollins. How is Seth Rollins looking the best in this entire situation?
Because he's, storyline-wise, he has been manipulating this whole situation from the start. This is his goal is to tear apart the Mysterio family. Now, the question is... Whereas him and Murphy's dissension and actual feud, is that legit? Or is that the, you know, Ric Flair feuding with Arn Anderson in WCW just to sucker and Sting again? You know, are Murphy and Rollins legit at odds? Or is Murphy part of this this plot to break up the Mysterio family?
Yeah, and that would be one thing. If Ray said that out loud, it would really help him look like way less of a schmuck. Like, him just continuing to kind of talk down to his daughter is just doing him zero favors. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Like a father who has spent years and years and years only focusing on his son and making the son carry on the family legacy, and has ignored his daughter, who has now sought comfort in the arms of an older man.
Oh, and
if you really want to get deep with it, deeper than I'm sure the WWE writers have thought into it.
Well, yeah, the fact that they went full execution this week with her kissing Murphy in the ring, Seth Rollins' shocked face was hilarious to me.
Rollins was hilarious. Rollins was the highlight of the whole segment. and you forgot Aaliyah saying that she loves him.
Oh.
They've just fucking met. She first met him when he was trying to take out her brother's eye.
Well, and that's another one where, with as much as the WWE recaps, I how has Ray not gone, Murphy is why I have this patch on my face still? Or at least one of the reasons I have this patch on my face. Like, that's the other thing that is at least infuriating from the Murphy / Aaliyah thing. It's just like, you guys have no common sense whatsoever. Like, they say that he has every right to be upset, but then they don't really admit to why he should be upset about the situation. And they also do not acknowledge the very large, gigantic elephant in the room, that there is a huge gap in age between the two. Which I do not think we'll ever probably see the light of day.
No, that's their out. The character of Murphy doesn't have to be in his 30s.
Oh. Yeah.
They don't say that their superstar's age is on television for the most part.
Yeah, usually when someone's when someone's exceptionally young, like I feel like they mentioned it with Tyler Bate being one. Austin Theory is one recently that comes to mind, but as a general whole, I would say that like 90% of the people on the roster, unless you check their age on Wikipedia, they're not saying it out loud on WWE TV. So yeah, they can use that as their out, but the rest of us know that it's creepy, even if they're using that as their out. But that was a super enjoyable, like, as hateable as everyone except for Seth Rollins is, it was a really fun segment. Like, that soap opera part of the wrestling is definitely hitting on all cylinders with that angle for sure. Like, it moved from Raw to SmackDown, and it's to SmackDown's benefit.
You said it's to SmackDown's benefit?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I guess the ratings do bear that out, and it's something that it does interest people, and it does. There's been some speculation that there are, you know, teenage boys who go on YouTube and they're and the Aaliyah Mysterio segments do ridiculous numbers all over the world. YouTube numbers all over the world. You know, there's certainly elements of that, but as far as telling a story that can end with a match in the ring, I think we may be way past that.
That is. And I think you and I have talked about that before, just because this angle has been going on for 6 months now?
Yeah.
Something in that area?
It's been going on for 6 months, yes. But the Aaliyah Mysterio part didn't begin till the, you know, like, at least the end of August.
Yeah, but it's still, that part's still been going on, at least the mystery about it has been going on for a month, and clearly is going to keep on going at least until Survivor Series, if not longer. But I guess to kind of bounce back to the point that we were on, though, I think it's something that we've talked about. I have no idea, like you, how they extricate themselves from this feud. Like, it is so far down the rabbit hole that it's like, it's getting weird where those individuals are almost on their own separate roster, whether they've been on Raw or SmackDown. Like, they're not worried about titles. They're not worried about other feuds. They don't get thrown into, like, weird, random squash matches during the week. Like,
Dominic still has never wrestled anyone except Seth or
Murphy.
I have no idea when that's going to stop
either. Yeah, like, it's really... you know, you started the point, but it's really weird. Like, what do you do? Like, I've got no idea how they finished this whole thing out. Because, we talked about how if Murphy was duping her the whole time, Aaliyah just looks like a real schmuck. And then, even though Ray's been right the whole time, he still looks like a schmuck.
And a horrible father. Yeah, it's a tough storyline for the Mysterios to come back from, certainly. But, yeah. They're gonna have to do this one very. I guess Aaliyah Mysterio's credibility isn't the most important thing in the world, considering that she is not a wrestler.
Oh yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not worried about her in this situation, but everyone else, again, aside from Seth, like Seth has been trying to cause dissension. So I mean, he's been doing his job the whole time. So he's still coming out of this looking fine, but Dominic and Ray went from baby faces to just being plain assholes. You know, because even, you know, it's not like Dominic has tried to use any reasoning with Aaliyah either. He's just like, nah, I'm your brother, I'm older, just come with us. Huh? Like, you're being a complete and utter lunkhead, too. Like, you would think one of the two of them would try to, you know, talk her down a little bit more or, you know, reason with her some, but both of them aren't. And it's just, yeah, it's not a good spot for Dominic to be in. After being introduced really well, he's being put into a shitty spot. Like many of new performer in the WWE. So, yeah. Mysterio, yeah, the Ray and Dominic certainly are going to have the hardest time bouncing back from this one. Murphy, I think that they kind of have his ceiling as being mid-card at best. So I'm not sure that his career really matters one way or the other. Like, the fact that he never really got to take the ball and run with it while he was Seth Rollins' disciple, I think tells me about all I need to know. At least, as like, I feel like he's a great wrestler, but, you know, if the WWE didn't do anything with him in that situation, I just don't get a feeling that they're going to do anything with him after that situation. Would you agree?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, Murphy might not look great after this, but whatever. I would imagine Dominic's the one that really is going to be hurt the most. Ray's already a legend. But, phew, man, he definitely took some shine off of his legend status with this whole thing. And, of course, you probably ask him about it. It's just like, hey, this is just wrestling. Nah, dude, it's gotten a little creepy and you look terrible. You really shouldn't agree to these angles. What was the, and I know there was another, nice long promo, and I'm trying to think of
Sasha and Bailey.
Yes. Sasha and Bailey. Good one. Your thoughts on that, continuing feud?
Really, really like Bailey in the segment. Bailey has become the best women's promo in the company, which anyone who saw her early work, that is incredibly surprising and pleasantly so. And, you know, really hammering home the point that Sasha has never successfully defended a women's championship a day in her life. After, I believe there was five previews to this.
Oh.
Well, this is her sixth title reign that could potentially end after one title defense.
Yeah, that would be pretty wild if.
There's going to be some real drama to that match. And as anyone who spends any time on Twitter is concerned, these two ladies have quite the fan bases who live and die on everything they do. So, yeah, there is going to be a hell of a lot of drama to this match on Friday. And it's among the things I most look forward to in wrestling, really, because it's really going to. It's really going to feel like a special match, honestly.
Yeah, until Sasha, like, if Sasha defends it in this matchup, like, I feel like she's just in for a long reign. If that's the case. Whether I doubt that it'd be 380 days, just because there aren't very many title reigns that last that long. But I would imagine she'll probably at least keep it until WrestleMania if she doesn't cough it up to, you know, right back to Bayley. And one way or the other, like you said, like, it's kind of a fun storyline. Like, if Sasha wins, she finally, you know, gets to say she defended the belt one time. Oh my god. Bayley will be completely unbearable if Sasha loses again in a title defense, which would be hilarious in its own right. So I don't see a bad way to run with this. Although I've got to admit, not that I do any real betting, but, my guess would be towards a Sasha retaining. But I agree with you. Like, until they have her win that matchup, like, there's always going to be a cloud of suspicion. Like you said, like, I think it's been 5 losses or something.
Yes.
So we'll see if her 6th title reign finally does the trick. But, yeah, I mean, that was just another good promo on this show. And I kind of forgot, I did enjoy the Street Profits got to do a little bit of promo work there in the ring before their matchup with Nakamura and Cesaro to cement their status at Survivor Series. Because it definitely looks like we're getting a little babyface versus babyface action with Street Profits taking on New Day. Which
that's the only match in Survivor Series that sounds like a dream match.
Well, I know
you're really excited about Lashley versus Sami Zayn.
Well, that is another promo that I did enjoy on the night. But to jump back real quick, though, to the dream matchup, I feel like the WWE has done this because I don't feel like has the draft been held during one particular time of the year. I feel like they've kind of shifted it around to suit their needs.
They've shifted it around to the fall for the purposes of SmackDown and Fox. Yes, the last 2 years. In the spring of WrestleMania.
Okay. Yeah, so, and I don't know if it was just because of the Fox change that, and maybe it was just last year, I don't completely remember, but that's been one of the problems with Survivor Series. It's just like, oh, we're doing brand supremacy, but it's like, you know, 3 weeks removed from a draft. And it's just like, why? Kevin Owens just moved over to SmackDown again. Like, why would he care that much? Like, I mean, he was put in the match, so I guess he doesn't want to lose a match because he is kind of that way. But he really shouldn't give a care at all whether SmackDown wins or not. Like, he's kind of the new guy. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, to me, like the freshness, and it's not just a Kevin Owens problem. Like most of these matches, either have been done because, and we were just talking, and not that I think it'd be a bad match, but Sasha and Asuka, they just had at least two matches recently, probably more, for the Raw Women's Championship.
They've had more than that. They had, well, they had at least three that were for the championship, at least one or two that weren't, that were non-title. Yeah, they had quite a few matches against each other. The only new wrinkle is that Sasha is now a babyface, Bayley is no longer in her corner, so Sasha and Asuka can now have a quality singles match without bullshit involved. But even that, I still don't know if that's enough, because we saw a lot of what those two can do against each other, regardless of some of the luckier finishes.
I'm with you on that one. Like, there is just not, there's not enough on that one for that to be a dream. You know, that isn't a dream matchup.
Neither is Bayley and Asuka either.
No. She's
done to death over the summer as well. And even another one more time last month to get through Clash of Champions.
Oh.
So, no. I mean, it's definitely looking like that one Asuka is not going to make it to Survivor Series as the women's champion. Which the incredible disappearing Asuka, I should say.
Yeah. What? She got this segment. Was it
this? She was not on Raw last night.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say it was last week that she was with New Day, not this week. So that her last appearance was to fill in for Big E for the New Day. And yeah, it's been kind of weird. Like, after that big push, they're just like, we got nothing.
Yeah, they have had absolutely nothing for her at all since she won the title back from Sasha. And, you know, the Raw Women's Division is an absolute, it's a disaster right now without, obviously in particular without Charlotte Flair. Naomi was drafted, but once again, her status is just, she's just had a weird year of inactivity. And I've heard nothing about what it's about. If it's very personal, I guess I don't want to know, but yeah.
Yeah, you would think.
What we're left with is a, go ahead.
In regards to Naomi, like, she had just said she'd kind of gone and, you know, left for a little while to get her head straight because of some family issues. So not to say that family issues couldn't pop back up,
right. But,
you know, it'd be kind of weird to have family issues that close together. Not impossible again, but it'd be pretty strange and alarming. And I feel like they've at least had her on to do a promo or something recently, so it seems odd that
she has not made any appearances in months and months.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a weird one. And just what we're left with is, you know, Shayna and Nia doing the tag team thing, so neither of them are challenging Asuka, although they were messing around with her in the previous weeks. And I guess it's just a real mess of a situation, of people who just, they're just not ready for Asuka, the rest of the division.
No. No, I mean, it's kind of been part of the problem. And also one of those head-scratching things with Ember Moon. Like, I know that she wasn't really utilized well on the main roster, but, phew, man, she definitely could have gone in for a feud with Asuka if necessary. Because for whatever reason, they've put Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke together, so they had kind of occasionally used Mandy Rose as a singles challenger on SmackDown, but that does not seem like it's going to be in the cards for her for a while, because they're really trying to push that tag team for reasons that I have yet to understand.
Yeah, they are. But they lost their tag team championship match, so I don't know where else you go with that. it's kind of a messy situation, and you know, Asuka has not had an impressive second reign at all. So if it were to come to an end, between now and Survivor Series, it could do some long term damage to Asuka, who finally in the last year got to where we must have wanted her to be, for 2 years earlier. So yeah, it's.
Oh.
On one hand, it's a lose-lose situation, with the way Survivor Series is set up. You either do these Sasha or Bayley match against Asuka that's been done to death already, or you take the title off of Asuka because Survivor Series is upcoming, and it's just brand versus brand, and you don't want to do those matches again, and you do some real damage to Asuka.
Yeah,
I guess the lesser of two evils was just do Asuka versus Sasha or Asuka versus Bayley again.
Any long term damage. Yeah, I really I don't see her losing the title before Survivor Series, Asuka being that. But she definitely needs to be reheated. But like you said, with Raw's women's division being just such a train wreck, like, what do you do? Like, it's a real mess. Because, yeah, Sasha and Bayley are holding it down on the other one. Yeah, no Charlotte, no Becky. Like, this is the first time in a while that's kind of been a real problem to not have either of them. Like, they've been moving along pretty well in the women's division without them, but
they were propped up by having Sasha and Bayley on both shows and having them feud with Asuka.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, if you hadn't burnt that earlier this year, it would be something to look forward to.
Splitting the women's division in two, they've done well with it in the past, especially I believe on SmackDown, having multiple, the early stages of the women's evolution and the brands split, having multiple women's feuds going on at the same time. Even if the division was only six women, but they've totally lost that now, and it's just, it's not good. You see, when on SmackDown, beyond Sasha versus Bayley, then where do you go if you feel like, say, Bianca Belair isn't ready yet, or you're not ready for her yet?
Oh,
I don't know what's next there either.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the weirder matchups, I thought, on, because that was SmackDown, wasn't it? Yeah, just because it was a three woman match.
Yeah, that's a weird way to do that. Take Talia and. Was it Billy Kay?
Billy Kay, yeah.
And have neither of them be on the Survivor Series team in the end?
Yeah.
I guess the Survivor Series team would be Bianca Belair, the loser of Bayley versus Sasha, then the Riot Squad, probably then.
Oh.
And whoever would be number five. I don't even know who would be the... who's the next singles babyface would be.
I guess it would not completely surprise me if the boat Natalia found her way back onto the program, or back into the SmackDown lineup. But I'd be okay if she wasn't either. You know, there's not a whole lot of gold to mine with putting her on the team. So yeah, I'd be completely okay with her missing out on that. Yeah, so it's kind of tough in a three-person match like that to put someone over strong. And you know, Bianca's been another one of those people that they really haven't done a great job with her. Like, I liked the vignettes that they had with her recently. But putting her then in a three-way match to qualify is no way to hype her up then. You know, just have her in a singles match against Billie Kay and have her squash her to get in. Really helps out Bianca way more than what happened, even though it was a pretty short match.
Yeah, no, it was not particularly a good match. It was, you know, not to Bianca Belair's strengths. Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, you brought it up earlier, and we kind of touched on it a little bit. Though I'm not looking forward to Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley as a match, mostly because it has Sami Zayn getting his ass kicked written all over it. And not that that's really a knock on Bobby Lashley. I'd just rather these two not meet at all currently. But Sami Zayn has really been killing it on the mic. He may have taken a few months off there, but he has certainly come back and still been cutting some fun promos for himself, and this week's was no exception.
Fun promo. Yeah, I like Sami Zayn's promo about being the champion of all the continents. That's a funny line to use. No, but Sami Zayn's good.
So, yeah, I guess there's that. I guess it bears a mention that Kevin Owens is part of Team SmackDown along with Jey Uso at the current moment. I'm not sure that we really need to get into the Owens versus Ziggler match, because that's about all that it was. Like, I...
No. There's no meat on that bone.
And yeah, we really already talked about Daniel and Jay, unless there's really something within that match that is worth talking about, but I am coming up blank. Yourself? Okie dokie.
There's nothing.
And then that was kind of nothing is a word that kind of sums up Raw currently. Like that really felt like an empty calorie 3-hour show that like I guess I was still a little bit surprised that Randy Orton did not pay McIntyre back during his match with an RKO.
Yes, he did.
Oh, did he do it after the match?
Yeah, he did it after the match, yeah.
Oh, well, that's why. He should have done it during the match. Oh, okay. I didn't read that far. I assumed that happened, didn't actually watch, and relied on a write-up and missed that part. Okay. Well, yeah, I guess that was kind of a predictable thing. I guess, yeah, the Orton McIntyre stuff is the only feud that is really, to me, worth kind of talking about on Raw currently. And even then, I guess I really, I like McIntyre's fire to get the championship back.
I think they made a huge mistake taking the belt off of him and now and playing it like this.
No.
He gave the same, he gave a very dangerous challenger opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and then finally lost fair and square, based on the rules of the match at Hell in a Cell, and now he's just being a whiny crybaby about it. He has lost all the cool, all the badass. For me, he's really lost all of his momentum. Maybe other people can disagree, but I'm more than 50% less invested in him as I was 90, as I was a week and a half ago.
Well, yeah. A, he shouldn't have been given Randy Orton that many chances. So I'm definitely not going to disagree on that point. I feel like so many people in the WWE end up getting sidetracked after they lose the championship that. It's to me, it's I like the fact that he still has it in mind after he lost. To me, I guess at least that means that they're probably thinking of keeping him in that area, but like, I guess as well as Randy Orton's been doing. Does giving him the championship do anything for him?
Don't believe it does, and I don't really. They've got an all right, pretty good, little three-way feud going on with Drew McIntyre and The Fiend. It's because the question is, does Randy drop the title before Survivor Series to avoid doing this heel versus heel match, or do we go through with it so that we do the triple threat with Randy and Drew and the Fiend at TLC with whatever accoutrements involved.
Yeah, like I guess I was trying to think, you're not gonna have Roman Reigns lose against someone. So I guess I don't know if the WWE's thinking was that Randy Orton could eat that loss better than Drew McIntyre, but rewind about 5 seconds here and note that him losing the championship did him no favors at all. So I'm not sure winning it back after Roman Reigns beats a Randy Orton, which is yeah, kind of an oddball matchup.
There's been
If
some. There's been some talk that the working plan for Randy Orton at WrestleMania is another match with Edge. But Lord, does that not need to be a WWE Championship match?
Oh, no. I mean, it's all been based about not the championship, and Edge is literally
I'm
in
not
the
saying.
Hall of Fame already. Like, he does not need another title reign.
Really need another nostalgia reign or, oh my God, he came back and did it. We need to be moving forward here, and we've taken quite a number of steps back. We've taken steps back with Drew McIntyre. You could argue there's been some steps back with Keith Lee.
Oh.
It's Randy Orton is still a 40-year-old guy who's been around for 18 years. Children have been born and graduated high school in the time that Randy Orton has been on WWE TV.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, So yeah, I am once again, I am vehemently against this Randy Orton title reign, no matter how good he has been, because of the damage I see that it's done to Drew McIntyre, and I think it will continue to do to Drew McIntyre. I don't know if Drew's second reign can pick up if there will be one where he left off.
Yeah. I guess I'm just kind of looking at SmackDown, and you kind of referenced them. And I know that Jeremy was complaining about his presentation this week, or this past week. And I'm sure it's Jeremy doesn't have a higher opinion of this situation after Keith Lee. I don't think he actually lost the matchup. Did he get...
Big bastards beating the hell out of each other. I will not say it wasn't an entertaining match, but I don't know if it did anybody any favors.
Yeah, that, you summed it up very well. There are two separate entities. Enjoying a match is separate from the match making sense and being logical and moving some type of story forward. And though all three of these guys have kind of been, I shouldn't say, at least two of them have been intertwined already with Keith Lee and Strowman. Sheamus throwing his hat in the ring there kind of helps keep things fresh a little bit for the other two. But it's kind of crazy that a guy who's like 6'5 and 270 looks like the small guy in the ring.
Yeah.
I guess that's all there is to it. Like, Braun Strowman is like so jacked at this point and leaned out. And Keith Lee is just kind of a monster. Like, he's he definitely has some wide in his tall, but you know, he can more than hold his own. So yeah, like it didn't do them any, I don't think it did anyone any favors. It didn't get Braun Strowman back on track at all. Keith Lee continues to, even though he's not taking the L, he's not winning his matches either. So yeah, that was a real at best lateral move for me during the show. I guess it wasn't terribly surprising that the Hurt Business has decided to go after the tag team championships with Cedric and Shelton Benjamin being the tag team.
Not surprising at all. It's a natural fit for them. They got the win in the non title match, which will earn them a title match, I'm sure, in the not too distant future. Which pre Survivor Series, I really hope they do not win, because I really want that New Day versus Street Profits match.
I hope that takes place at a later date. I am fine with them taking it from New Day at some juncture, but now is not one of those times. Like you said, I'm kind of anticipating that matchup myself. Anything else from Raw? Like, I just kind of ran back through it again. I don't really see anything else worth talking about. Anything from your end?
I mean, I guess the only other thing would be Lana taking that table, the Samoan drop through the table for the 7th week in a row.
Yep. It happened again. It was.
Yeah, it definitely happened again.
It's kind of funny. but also kind of underscores the weirdness of having her on a Survivor Series team, which basically puts you at a disadvantage as they're almost fully admitting on TV.
The only thing I can think of is that if she's got to get taken out of this match. And maybe this is where Charlotte Flair finally returns. Because my God, does that team in this match need something?
Yeah, that
this Survivor Series is not looking strong. In previous years, they did a really good job with Survivor Series. You know, even before last year with the NXT edition, the previous two real strong SmackDown versus Raw shows were very good, and the TV leading up to them with the sneak attacks, and you know we have these title versus champion matches, but the champions have to survive until then, and the matches could change at the drop of a hat, and they do, and they change to better matches. I'm not seeing that this year. They don't have the better matches to pivot to.
And
they don't have the intrigue with the elimination matches either, as there has been in past years.
Right, yeah, and just, it didn't help on Raw. They didn't give themselves any extra feud material, or not feud material, TV material, by just granting that the women's tag team champions are on their team, and then Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke got appointed to the team too, so you only ended up with one spot at play. And it's still weird, like, even though Mandy and Dana lost, like, it's still kind of a bad look. Like, why do you want them losing to their teammates? Like, I know that they don't get along, but that's another one where it just doesn't help anyone.
No, it doesn't. That and the triple threat match, it's just like, someone made the point. We have about 600 people on this roster. Why do any of these people have to lose before Survivor Series?
I don't know, because they are only allowed to use X number of people from that roster of 600. that always, to me, seems to be one of the biggest problems, is that just not enough of the roster gets used for, I guess best worded, enhancement talent matches. Like, Mickey James popped up for, 5 seconds, and she's been kind of MIA again, there are lots of other examples, but that was just one that kind of came to mind. I mean, you talked about Naomi being there but not really doing anything. Is Lacey Evans on Raw or SmackDown these days?
It's Raw. Yeah, she's teaming with Peyton Royce because the Iconics had to be split up, so that Peyton Royce could have that awesome singles run.
Yep. So, yeah, thankfully Lacey Evans has almost been doomed from the beginning, and I'm not sure how much of it is her fault and how much is creative's fault, which I usually have the bigger problem with. They have the capability on their roster to make better appointments than they're doing, but they haven't, like normal, they haven't built up people properly to be able to do that, to fill in these spots that they have.
Right.
So, yeah, it's Survivor Series not looking so sharp this at this moment. Yeah, so I think that does it, man. I'm ready to wash my hands of this thing. My beverage of the evening, the Belltime beer, Wolf's Ridge Brewing, Cone and Vine. It is their fresh hopped beer, aka wet hopped. So it's Strata and Idaho 7 hops. It is a fantastic beverage. And as I've noted, one of the upsides of this whole pandemic has been more beer shipping. If you happen to be in Ohio, you can grab some Wolf's Ridge, and I would highly suggest grabbing some Cone and Vine if you like that nice, mild, kind of hoppy flavor. There's a little bit of pininess in there for those people that like that thing. And it's not terribly, what is that, tropical in nature. I guess that is the one thing I do like about the fresh hop ones is that even when they're not floral, it has a nice lighter touch to the hops that I dig on more than a regular standard IPA that might use a pellet or some type of a more dried hop. That is the Belltime Beer review of the show. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you happen to listen to this thing. It would help out. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Later.